In preparation for this morning's lesson, I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
Good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Good to be before you once again to bring another lesson from God's Word. And certainly, as always, it is my intent to only speak God's Word. This morning's lesson, Eyes and Ears of the Lord. Well, when you first see that, you might think, well, we're going to talk about, boy, the eyes of the Lord sees everything that we do wrong, and he hears everything that we do wrong, which he does. But that's not how I'm going to use that this morning. You probably already, from the reading, it came from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And we can take comfort in that. We should take comfort in that very fact. The Lord knows where you are at this very moment. He knows where your mind is at this very moment. When we offer prayers, he hears our prayers, and we certainly should take comfort in that. Not only in our rejoicing to the Lord, but in prayers when we are in sorrow, when we certainly have loved ones that they need to improve health-wise, and we offer petitions on their behalf, we can take comfort in the fact that the Lord, and know that the Lord hears our prayers. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And we recognize the fact, and we need to put forth special effort that his face isn't against us because we are doing evil. We don't want that, certainly. I will make a quick note here. This lesson is concerning a subject that I need to improve on, and I would not be surprised that each and every one of us need to improve in this area. Verse 15 says, we are to sanctify, or but sanctify, the Lord your God in your hearts. What does it mean to sanctify the Lord God? To sanctify something, you understand the Lord, he is sacred. The Lord is sacred. The Lord is holy in all aspects of anything concerning the Lord, whether you're talking about his nature, his power, his truth. He is sacred in these things. He is holy in these things. And that's why we want to follow him. We want to be like him. We sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. But then it says, and here's where I need to improve. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. We are to be ready at all times, it says, always, to give an answer. And I would infer that we could look at that, take it one step further. When the opportunity presents itself, we need to seize that opportunity to be ready to be an encouragement to whoever we're talking to on behalf of the Lord. This isn't my instructions. This is Peter's instructions through inspiration from God. And he says we are to be ready. In Acts, the 13th chapter and 47th verse, we could read where Paul, he's speaking to the Jews, and these Jews were contradicting and blaspheming him for the things that he said. And Paul says that you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Because of the way that you are receiving God's word, you judge yourself unworthy because you are rejecting his word. But the Lord told Paul, and he said, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles. So Paul was here trying to teach, trying to encourage the Jews in the ways of the Lord, but they were rejecting it. They were even blaspheming Paul. But then Paul says, the Lord has set him to be a light unto the Gentiles. Paul was to go to the Gentiles to teach. He was commissioned to do that. That was Paul's responsibility, to go to people like you and I to preach them the gospel, because the Jews had rejected their word. And in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, it says, ye are the light of the earth, salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Who's he talking to? Talking to me. He's talking to you. How are we going to be the salt of the earth? How are we going to be the light of the world? And certainly one way, and we can't underestimate this way, it's by our actions, by how people look at us. Because it doesn't take long for people to have an idea of our nature. And some might say, well, they're a religious individual. Or they might say, you know, they're hypocrites. They say they're religious. We sure couldn't tell it by the words that come out of their mouth. So we give lessons by how we behave ourselves in public, how we present ourselves. I, in some way, had a compliment when I was still working for the phone company. I had an individual come to me, and he said, this person is going to come to talk to you because he's having marital problems. And he said, come talk to me because I'll give him a different perspective. You know, my comments are going to be different than everybody else's because I was a religious individual. Well, he wasn't intending it for it to be a compliment. He was just warning me. This guy's going to come and talk to you. But I took it really as a compliment. At least they noticed that in some way I was different, and I would be giving him probably different advice. But we are the salt of the earth, not only by our examples, but we go back to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when it says that we are to be ready always in giving an answer to anyone who presents a question to us. So be ready. Why? Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's quite a responsibility. And as I said, I need to be better at this. And perhaps you do also. We are to be ready. We are to be prepared to answer questions concerning who needs to be saved. Well, every person needs the Savior Jesus. And that could be phrased different ways, but in giving an answer to someone, we certainly need to point out that every person needs that, the Savior Jesus. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 10th and 11th verse, we know Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach. So Paul here is instructing Timothy, command and teach these things. Why? Because they are the Savior of, the Christ is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Christ is the Savior of all men, but only those who take advantage of it. And the only ones that take advantage of it are those that believe. So especially to those that believe, they're taking advantage of it. He's going to be literally the Savior of them. I'm the Savior of everybody else, but you choose not to accept it. We need to tell that story. We also need to tell what Romans 6 chapter and 23rd verse says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to emphasize Jesus Christ. We have can be forgiven of our sins and receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, 7th through the 9th verse. Here we find the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And he says, here he writes, "So then, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn that wicked man his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquities. But his blood will be required at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways and turn from it, if he do not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquities, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Ezekiel's job was to warn them from me. That's what God said. Ezekiel, you warn these people using my words. I'm warning them through you. How is God the salt of the earth? The light of the world. Through us. We're to tell people about that when we have an opportunity. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give a reason that lieth in you of the hope that you have. That's quite a responsibility. If Ezekiel didn't warn, it says that person who dies and is lost eternally, his blood will be required at thy hand. It's because you didn't do your job, Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a job to warn. If you don't warn Ezekiel and people die, it's your responsibility because you didn't fulfill your job. We as Christians have a responsibility, not only in our actions, but in trying to be that encouragement. Now, granted, everybody has different abilities. So we're talking, it's a given, to whatever abilities you have that responsibility. And if you don't think you have any abilities, that's the same as saying, well, God put me here upon earth with no abilities. I don't believe that. God gave us all talents, and we, you and I, have the talent, have the responsibility to do what we can to warn those about us. And I know I need to do a much better job at that. Because I believe it's the same today as what was told, that God told Ezekiel. If we don't do our job, those who are lost are going to be lost. His blood, it will be required. It's because of me. It certainly could be because of me. We don't know who's going to accept the gospel, who's going to be swayed. That's not our job to know that. Our job is the same as Ezekiel, to warn. Be ready always to let them know every person needs to say the Savior, Jesus. Be ready, be prepared to answer. Because people are going to ask the question, well, what do you have to do? And we got to be prepared. We got to be ready. Well, you know, to be prepared, that means you have to do something beforehand. It takes, you have to prepare yourself. And as I get older, I know how true that is. I have to prepare myself more and more. That's why I bring notes up here. That's why I highlight. Technology helps. But we are to be ready, be prepared to answer people that might ask a question, or if the opportunity presents itself, you know, what the divine plan of salvation is. In meekness and in truth. In Luke, the 24th chapter, 46 and 47 verse, then said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That was to be preached. Repentance. Repentance is a part of that divine salvation. And repentance is simply, you decide to make a change in your life. And people have to be told that. You got to make a change in your life. You can't say, I accept Christ, and let it go at that and live the same way. They have to make a change in their life. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, that says, oh, there it is, as far as repentance is concerned. Matthew, the 10th chapter, in 32nd and 33rd verse. Whosoever there shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Sounds like confession is pretty important. If you do confess, it's great. If you don't confess, we're going to be denied in heaven. So confession is very important. And a wonderful example that I always think of, and perhaps you do also, is found in Acts, the 8th chapter, 36 and 37th verse. Philip teaching the eunuch, the one man who had great authority from Ethiopia, and he said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before. Seem like I got these out of sequence. But him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Here we go. And as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. So here we find an example of one who obviously was taught quite a bit about the God's plan of salvation. Baptism was taught, but we're not emphasizing that point just at this moment. We're emphasizing confession. And this eunuch, he wanted to be baptized, but he was told, well, if you believe, you may. And what the eunuch believed was that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This confession that Christ, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God. How important and how beautiful that confession is. And how necessary it is. And in talking to others, that point needs to be brought out. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In this, Jesus speaking to the 11, this is what he told them. To go everywhere, to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is what Christ told the 11. It was what they were to do. And in Mark 16:16, a familiar verse to all of us. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they had this job to do. There's Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Sounds pretty important, something very necessary if we're going to be pleasing unto God. Baptism. And probably the topic of baptism will bring the most discussion. because so many people do not think it's necessary. And they will use rhetoric all the way around the scripture and the others, saying how unnecessary it is. Well, when a person believes he needs to turn away from sin, to make that good confession as the eunuch did, and to be baptized for the remission of sin, the Lord adds that one to the church. We can read that in Acts, the second chapter, verse 47. So, when one becomes a Christian, does he have it made? No. There's another item that needs to be stressed. Be ready, be prepared to answer. You got to be faithful. You've chosen to accept Christ. You've chosen to confess Him. You've chosen to be baptized. You need to choose to be faithful. And that takes work. It takes effort. The church at Smyrna, the Lord knew their works. The Lord knew their tribulation, their power. But said that that church was really rich. They were poor physically, but they were rich spiritually. As I said, the Lord knew that church, just as He knows this church here. And in Revelation, the second chapter and the 10th verse, we normally refer to just the last part of this that's highlighted. But the entire verse says, "Fear none of these things," talking to the church at Smyrna, "which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You're going to have tribulations through your time on life. You're going to have some trouble. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." They are encouraged to continue to be rich in their faithfulness. In John, the 10th chapter, 15th chapter and 10th verse, Jesus said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So here Christ said, we are to keep His commandments, to follow His will, not our own will. And oftentimes, when the opportunity has presented itself, my will has been just be quiet. Don't say anything. And that's not the way it should be. Well, we've presented God's plan of salvation, perhaps, and hopefully brought out that one must be faithful. The question might come up, well, can one who has rendered obedience to the Lord, been added to the church by the Lord, can that person be lost? Some people will say, no, he can't be lost. It's a done deal. He's going to heaven. Well, my answer to that question is, yes, he can be lost. But that's just not my thinking. What's the scripture say? In 2 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the 20th verse, it says, "For if after they have escaped from the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse that with them than the beginning. For it hath been better for them to know, for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Familiar scripture. But if once a person becomes a Christian, and then they become entangled, they are overcome by situations in their lives, by worldly whatever, it says they have become worse than what they were before they accepted the Lord. And the reason it is worse is because you can't do anything about it for them. You can't encourage them in anything that they haven't heard before. They've already heard it. They already know what the truth is. The truth hasn't changed, but they have changed. Therefore, the only thing that we can do is still love that person and be the good example that God wants us to be. Well, in talking to other Christians, we must understand that there are things that, what can a Christian do to remain saved, to be faithful, to stay in fellowship with the Lord? In Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse, Jesus told his disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are to know what the Word of God has to say. You know, that's why we need to study at home. That's why we need to attend our services in Bible study, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can know. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, the 4th through the 10th verse, here we have Simon Peter. He wrote by inspiration, saying, "Wherefore are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature." Here again, a divine nature. That's what we're wanting to have. That's what all of us, I believe, we want to have, a divine nature. "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail." Add to our faith these items. This is our, we could say, a daily challenge for us to realize that we need to increase in these various areas, because that's what the Lord has told us to do. But it says, if we never think about these things, if we are neglectful in these things, it says, he that lacketh these things, he says, you're blind. You can't see what's really important. You cannot see afar off. You're living for the day. You can't see. Your life is short. One day you'll die. Then you'll stand in judgment. Be like Abraham, is looking for the heavenly home, that spiritual kingdom. And that means that you have forgotten that which he was purged from his old sins. We've forgotten these things. In Romans 2, Christians, we are going to fail. We are going to sin at times. Romans 3 and 23 tells us that, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We can't earn salvation. We come short of that. No matter how good a person is, it's only through the blood of Jesus. And in 1 John 1 and 8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So we do sin from time to time. But going on in 1 John, the first chapter, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We're going to sin as Christians, but we can, through prayer, have forgiveness of those sins. And in First John, second chapter, first two verses, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Christ is our propitiation. Not a word that we use a lot. But Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Christ, through Christ's sacrifice, we can be made right in the eyes of God. He's that atoning sacrifice. Now we've gone full circle, back to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and in fear. We are to sanctify, knowing that the Lord God is sacred and holy, and we strive to do His will. Be ready, be prepared to answer such questions such as these that refer to these items. There's countless others, but these are just three important ones that we need to be prepared that we can give answers. I was going to count how many scriptures I've used. I neglected to do that, but I imagine there's around 20. And I'd venture to say you probably know half of them, and maybe 90% of them pretty well anyway. But we need to know these scriptures. Know them. Have them ready. Be prepared to bring these scriptures up when it presents itself. Well, we've talked about the plan of salvation already. If there's any here who know the Christ teaching and believe His teaching, they know that it's true. They need to repent, to turn from sin, to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to be baptized. Well, to confess Christ Jesus as the Son of God, to be baptized for remission of sins. And the Lord adds you to the church. And from that time on, strive to the best of your ability to be faithful. That's the lesson this morning. If there's any who wishes to do this morning, there'd be no better time. And may we do it as we stand and sing this invitation song.